the show. We'll start momentarily. But as always, we want to start off by thanking you, the listener, and the sponsor. Talking Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Sifo's Restaurant and Cafe. Home of authentic Jamaican-style cuisine in Chico, Sifo's Restaurant and Cafe is open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday at 1228 Dayton Road on the south side. To explore the flavors of the islands, visit sifosjamaica.com or you can call 895-1866 and feel your love. So shout out to Sifo. Appreciate the underwriting. Appreciate you for tuning in. We got a big show coming up for you. Derek's in the house. He's back from his vacation. Hello, Derek.
What's good, everybody?
Talking about practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, hey, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
We are indeed talking about practice. Jarrell Gilbert alongside me, my co-pilot, Eric Tamaki. What's good?
Oh, you know, what's happening, everybody?
We got a big show for you, as I mentioned. Kerr's out, potentially for the rest of the playoffs. Who knows how long, so that's indefinitely. We'll get to that. The Sharks are out. Bummies out. A lot of bad news for various sports fans, but that's okay. The Dodgers are not playing great, so that's good.
I mean, that's one thing that Bay Area fan people can look highly upon.
Yeah, so that's what they hang around on. Anyway, we'll get to all that. Before we do, we'll start in the natural ace. I think it makes the most sense, considering NBA playoffs are going on, that we start with some soccer.
And now, it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer. Of the men responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
30 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball at a barnside.
Oh. It's time for Derek Ismaki's Foot and Mouth.
So, we're starting with soccer.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's like a dream come true for me right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to my world.
El Clasico was yesterday.
Yes, it was.
And it's rare that I'll plan my day around watching soccer, especially when NBA basketball is on. But Derek told me this was going to be a good one. And so, yeah, we watched it together, and that's why we're starting with it. What an instant classic.
Yeah, as the name itself, El Clasico pits Real Madrid and Barcelona, probably two of the biggest club teams worldwide. As tremendous ratings, for the most part, most soccer fans will stop whatever they're doing on El Clasico and turn to it. No matter who your team is, it's just always a game for the ages, usually every single time. And this time really did not let us down whatsoever. It really was such an exciting game from start to finish. I mean, it was insane how it came about. It ended with a pretty much goal within the last seconds of the game to give Barcelona the win.
It was the last play of the game.
Yeah, last play of the game.
Yeah, in the 92nd essentially, minute.
They were in stoppage time in the 90th. Yeah, the 2 minutes of stoppage time that happened in there. Truly was Marco Lionel Messi had scored two goals for himself. Had pretty much every single goal that was scored, for the most part, was pretty spectacular. His first goal that Messi scored, he made a million-dollar lead. Considered one of the best right-backs in the game. Looked silly, flopping at nothing.
He just split two defenders, made them both look a little silly. And it was crazy because he missed another wide open opportunity off a corner, which was, I was shocked because it's messy. You know,
not like
it was
like
wide
so.
Open.
Yeah.
It was just like, nope. But as you said, the game ended in just terrific fashion. It was crazy. Yeah, Messi scored in stoppage time, and it was just back and forth the whole way. Some crazy saves.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every goalkeeper. Shout out to Ter Stegen, the Barcelona keeper, and Keylor Navas, the Real Madrid keeper. Both of them put on spectacular efforts, putting on some goals that should have been in there that did not. I mean, for you guys to get an idea, there were 38 shots taken in that game. Their saves were on point. It was incredible. Just it was true up and down fashion. That's kind of how every soccer fan wants every game to be played at. There wasn't a strong side to one possession.
If soccer was like that, if every game was like that, I would be the biggest fan.
Right? I feel like you couldn't. I mean, we would be talking. Next thing you know, there's something amazing happening. You just like, have to stop and like rewatch
just start
it again.
Yelling and fun. It was fun. So you good? You got all your points?
Yeah, I got my points out. Right. Yeah, El Clasico is happening, guys. Hope you guys were able to watch it.
Yeah, it was great. All right, moving on to stuff you guys want to hear about. Oh, man, I was hoping John was going to be here because he's actually the one who broke the news to me that Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, could potentially miss the rest of the playoffs. He is out indefinitely. Kerr, as we all know, missed the first 44 games, I want to say, of last year's regular season, because he was out with spinal fluid leaking after back surgery. And apparently that's normal, but what he was having to deal with was a little...
It doesn't sound pleasant.
Nothing about that sounds great. But he's having really bad migraines and nausea. And I mean, it's got to be really bad because that guy competitor... Never forget this. Never forget this, kids. Steve Kerr got in a fight with Michael Jordan. He squared up Michael Jordan. Now, from all accounts, he got punched in the head. And that's the way it went. But he's a competitor, man. And I know this has got to be eating him up, not being able to be on the Warriors' sideline. And now the big question becomes, well, how important is the coach in the NBA?
I mean, apparently for last game, it was very important.
That record start they had to the season last year, Luke Walton was the guy on the bench. Now, obviously, Kerr put this unit together, the coaches together. He's organized these things, but he's been a great coach as far as anyone can tell. I mean
no one's really had this start. Record.
He's had the best start of any coach ever.
Granted, he has a pretty great team around him has led on the way, but I mean, we've talked about it before. The coach is like finding a great coach is one of the hardest things to be able to do. It takes a special person to be more than just kind of your average coach out there. You know, people like Greg Popovich obviously come to mind right now of someone who's really had a truly focused, like he's at San Antonio. He's had great players come in and out, but no matter what, he's been consistent. And every single one of those teams puts up pretty much the exact same every single year. You cannot say anything bad what Pop has done for down there. Like I said, he's off his new start, this new team right now for what is his fifth?
Kerr,
yeah. Third year. He's on his third year here. I mean, he's won a championship and been to finals. So, I mean, that's
one of the most games by any coach in their first 3 years. He's won 60 plus games. And every year, I want to say 65. I think it is 65 plus games the last three seasons.
Definitely be interesting to see how they respond.
Well, the one thing I will say, and my biggest concern as a lifelong Golden State Warriors fan, is Kerr seems to bring a calming effect to that team. And I think if you see with Pop, for example, all the X's and O's, those are done, you know, before the game, and there's adjustments made for sure. Our staff oftentimes is coming up with some of those adjustments and, you know, after timeout, inbound play, and all that kind of stuff. What my biggest concern, though, is I think there's something to be said for Kerr because he's won multiple championships as a player. He's obviously done it as a head coach. And I think when you have the talent he has on that team, the Wolves have, they need the guy when things are going a little stray to be able to steady the ship.
You know? Yeah, no doubt. Like, when to call timeouts, what to say in those timeouts, what line to put in there at that point in time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a point this season where Steph Curry was really, I don't want to say struggling, but struggling by Steph Curry measurements. And it was in New York. I remember the game, and Steve Kerr was saying to Curry, he's like, "Well, you're playing well. You're doing this. You know, you're not been a great game, you know, as far as scoring, but you're doing all these things and more plus whatever when you're on the floor." And they were kind of laughing about it back and forth. And you see a lot of that with Kerr and his interactions with the players. And I remember Coach Mike Brown, when he was coaching the Cavs, on several occasions, I didn't think he necessarily cost the Cavs a playoff game, but I definitely don't think he was helping them win some of them. And what I mean by that is it just seems like he would be tight in a sense. And we'll see what happens, but that would be my biggest concern is Kerr just really seems to have a very calming, chill demeanor when he interacts with this player. So
almost that Mr. Esque.
Played with the guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's learned from Phil Jackson. He's been under Popovich, so he has a lot of experience in that department from some of the coaches that this league has seen. And like I said, you can just tell the way he talks, he's always monotone the entire time. Nothing really seems to get him excited. Nothing seems to really bring him down. He has, like I said, a level head about him whenever he's out there. So, McBrown has, he's taken some teams some places with the Cavs and whatnot, but he's certainly no Steve Kerr, I feel.
Yeah, some question is to you. How do you picture this as we get deeper and deeper into the playoffs? Do you think the Warriors should no longer be considered the favorites? How much of an impact do you think Kerr being out will have on a team like the Warriors?
I still feel that this team is a pretty much solid group of professionals right now from Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry, who've been in the league for a number of years, from Andre Iguodala as well. Mm-hmm. Their bench play in particular, when they get Sean Livingston and he's good in there, a lot of guys have been in the league for a while and know how to play. They've been in this team before. So I feel that he's already kind of done the dirty work, the kind of the grit and the grind you need to have a team at this point in time. So I don't think he's going to have additive effect, I think, as maybe Warriors fans might think of it, just because they're super close to the team and they really like Kerr. Kerr's a good guy and you wish nothing but for the best for him, whether you're not a Warriors fan or not. He really is just a stand-up fellow. But I really don't think it's going to have as big effect as some people might want it to be, just because this team that is around there is so good. And when they do have Kevin Durant on the floor, they're professionals. They really are. I mean, the amount of years experiences and the rings between them should account for that.
Yeah, you know, it's just a couple years ago when this won the playoffs. They won the championship. As you'll remember, Kerr made a move where he started Iggy in the starting lineup. And who did he bench for Iggy? I can't even remember now. But anyway, he made that move in the finals. And, you know, he was a first-year coach at the time. So you wonder if Mike Brown has the same cachet with his players, the same trust, if they're in a situation where they need to where they need to do something like that,
yeah.
Where he needs to go to, you know, one of his guys and say, "I'm sorry, I'm going to start running you with the second unit. You know, we're going to start you again. You know, KD, you're coming off an injury. You need to sit." I think that we'll see. You said they're a bunch of professionals, but man, definitely made an already interesting first round. I don't know about this as any impact on this round, but it made an interesting NBA playoff so far. I think a lot more interesting. I think they have to. I haven't seen if the lines changed in Vegas, but I'm sure there's still the odds-on favorite, but I have to think that line moved a little bit, but I don't know.
I can imagine. I mean, it's a chafing over there in Vegas. Anything to make it sway, you know?
good point. Yeah. Speaking of these fantastic NBA playoffs, I think, let's just kind of go around real quick, because there's a few things that I've just really enjoyed about this year's playoffs. So let's start with Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Yeah, hey, we're close enough.
Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo, we'll go with that.
Okay.
I mean,
Giannis, we'll just call him his first name.
Yeah, the Greek freak. Yeah. He's been amazing. He's been so much fun to watch. They're playing right now, aren't they? Or am I wrong? I could be wrong. But
they are. Yeah, it is in the third quarter right now. Toronto's up 74-63.
Okay. But that series has kind of gone back and forth. But just seeing the Bucks, they're just a really long team. They pass the ball, a lot of dunks. It's fun to watch them. And so that would be my first observation as far as just one of the things that's kind of stuck out to me. What about for you?
For me right now, I love the Wizards right now, in particular.
Yes.
John Wall.
Yes.
I said that yesterday to you. He gets better handles with the ball the faster he is going. It is insane. Some of the stuff he's doing right now. I mean, that series is still a good one. The Hawks are still putting up a fight. Like the words are being exchanged between Marquis Morris and Paul Millsap right now, calling them crybabies and whatnot. I love that stuff is happening. We were talking about it before. I love what Milwaukee is doing to the Raptors at their home. They're playing Barney as their starting lineup is being announced right
now.
All
the pettiness. Yeah. I love pettiness.
No, it's fun times we're playing right now, guys. Let's just have a little fun with it. And I hope that I don't know what Toronto did. I'm sure they had to respond. I feel like they should have in some fashion. But it's kind of hard to see people seriously when Barney's being played in the background, you know?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That's been really entertaining. And I agree, the Wizards, man, finally seeing John Wall healthy and playing like this. I mean, that move when he was going full speed, spin move, and then dunked on Bazemore, of course, he dunked on the Dat Master.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing right now, too. It's 30-33 in the second over Atlanta.
Okay.
So, yeah. They're going on right now. The playoff is, they've been great just because every single team that's out there right now has, a legitimate star, you know? There's somebody that you can kind of focus. There may be one team you might be able to say doesn't quite have it is maybe Atlanta. They don't have a third collection of good players. But every team you look down from Toronto, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry.
Right.
You've got, like I said, we talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. You've got John Wall in the Wizards right now. Paul George with the Pacers, you know, they got swept. But even looking at the West right now, you've got, you know, obviously, you've got your naturals in Dame Lillard in Portland and whatnot. You've got Memphis with Mike Conley and Marcus Smart on a fantastic show. Antonio, not to mention Kawhi Leonard going off in that game.
Yeah, like you said, it was fortunate he airballed that potentially game-winning shot, because he had a hell of a game.
That fourth quarter in particular was just insane, the shots he was making.
I said on this show a few weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, that I would not be surprised to see Memphis make this really difficult for the Spurs. Now I wouldn't be shocked to see Memphis advance. I do think the Spurs are better. But Memphis is a tough team. I mean, they took the season series from Warriors this year, and I think they're the only team to do that. They beat number one seed in San Antonio in the past. And yeah, this is the Memphis Grizzlies from several years ago. But they had the
whole
leaders
piece
on the ropes.
Yeah,
Marc
Gasol is proving himself to be a solid big man who can do pretty much a lot of things, pretty much anything. Mike Conley is nothing but a stud of a point guard.
Yeah,
leading that team right there. And I love their coach, too. But
I think Conley has the potential to be the first NBA Hall of Famer never to make an All-Star game.
Right. I mean, what he's doing right now has been ridiculous.
Yeah.
It just has been to lead this team. He does so quietly, you know? And that's what I like about him. He's not one of those forefront type of superstars, you know?
Yeah, we were talking about it a week or so ago on the show that he's never had a technical foul in the NBA. Not once.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Just a nice guy,
right?
He even had a statement. I don't want to quote it. I can't quote it word for word, but he was like, "Yeah, sometimes I don't get the fouls, but I don't think it's because the refs have a problem with me." He's like, "Sometimes they're humans too. You know, they make mistakes." And it's like, even that was just so kind and nice. And
he's just here to play basketball. You know, he doesn't really care about much of the other flu-flop and whatnot. And I said,
what do you call it? The flu-flop?
You know, the fluff, all that extra fluff.
All right, we'll go with that. Go ahead.
And I was also got Utah and the Clippers too. I mean. What Utah's gone through, they lost Rudy Gobert from the first 5 minutes of the first game, still won that game, and then have made the Clippers really sweat. And they apparently lost Blake Griffin to a nasty toe injury, apparently.
Yep, he's out again.
Yeah.
This has been my favorite part of the playoffs so far. You probably heard it now.
Pedigree, and I'm a young rookie, but they're not going to rook us. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. My guys did that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. Take that for data.
So that was a remix. But David Fizdale, the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, has absolutely been the standout star of the playoffs, in my opinion. That was a rant he won after game one, was it? Or was it after game two? Doesn't matter.
It was game two.
Yeah, it was after game two. That was the rant he went on. Take that for data has been turned into memes and shirts and hoodies and all sorts of swag. I even saw it on a backpack.
They're already, man. He's like, hey, man, it's the internet these days.
The internet, no patience. By the time I find out about something, if I know about it, it's no longer cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're too late to the party at this point.
It's really funny, but Memphis has really gone toe-to-toe with the Spurs, and they're going to be tough. And going down 2-0 to the Spurs, I started to sweat that a little bit. But, they're a tough team. So we'll see what happens there. Elsewhere in the West, obviously, Golden State has looked dominant against Portland. Aside from that, those first three quarters, they've really, in game one and then in game three, they just kind of take over. It's close, and then they're like, all right, let's...
I mean, like I said, Portland's still a young team. They don't quite have the same pieces, obviously, as the Warriors do. So it's not a game against a team as good as the Warriors is almost impossible for them to feel. If you get one, I think they should be, you know, that'd be good on them at this point, especially the way that they came into the league, having this season in general wasn't the best for them.
No.
But
they took a bit of a step backwards, yeah. I guess, but in a sense, no one thought they had any business being in the playoffs last year. So it's weird because they arrived ahead of schedule last year, and now it's like they didn't
follow through with it, you know. It's like you should have done, you know, we weren't expecting that. Now that you set that standard for yourself, we're expecting higher things every single year from you, and
right.
It's kind of hard to duplicate that, especially when... You know, they don't quite have everything there for my team.
So this Clippers series that you're just talking about now becomes very interesting without Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, man, I feel bad for him. He just cannot avoid getting injured.
I mean, I'm not a huge Clipper for myself in terms of I'm not going to be rooting for them.
I've only met one. His name is Jordan Booth, DJ J-Pens.
Yeah.
He's the only real-life Clippers fan I've ever... Shout out to DJ J on BYOB Radio every Thursday at midnight. But he's the only real-life Clippers fan I've ever met. And I do feel bad because the team just seems stuck.
They cannot get past it.
Yeah, they cannot get out of their own way. Blake Griffin punching a trainer. It just seems like all these silly little things keep happening. And this is a game that we all thought would be competing for championships. And
I mean, they're putting that team together with the amount of superstars that they have. They should be. You know,
we talked about it several times on the show, but they just never found a good three. So just
I mean, okay, are you still gonna try to keep them together after this year? Let's say Utah beats them.
Clearly, you listened to the show last
week.
No,
of course not. Please,
I don't want to listen to the sound of my own voice.
You didn't listen to us when you weren't here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Touché. So, in a nutshell, my argument for that was, you figured out the hard part. The hard part was finding superstar talent. They have three perennial all-stars. You keep that together, and you build around that. And I think the solution is
Doc Rivers.
I don't know if I'd get rid of him as a coach, but like he cannot be the one person making personnel decisions
anymore. I feel like he hasn't really done much. He got handed a really good Boston Celtics team. I should say he got Kevin Durant and Ray Allen on a team of Boston Celtics team that was doing terrible beforehand.
Did you say Kevin Durant? Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett.
Okay, I was really...
KG.
Okay, on the same page. Yes. But remember, before he got there, he did have that season when they won like 20 games, when he first...
Exactly. So, I mean, he's... And then he came to the Clippers, and still, he's had a great team, and nothing's come out of him yet. They can't even get out of the second round.
Yeah, I don't... How much can you put on Doc Rivers, the coach? You know what I mean? Like, that team just...
he brings on some people too.
But then again, the Clippers also blew that lead against the Rockets when they're up 17 in Game 6, I believe, against the Rockets with James Harden on the bench at home. It should have been over. And Josh Smith went crazy.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there might be something to this Doc Rivers thing. But, yeah, I would keep those guys together. I don't know what the market would be for an aging Chris Paul out there. So I just don't think you're going to get enough value back to make it worth getting rid of him. I think he could have gotten a piece for Blake prior to this injury. And I just think this injury is too in the now for people to look past.
Not to mention his history in general right now.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's adding to a aging list right now.
Yeah, it's not great. So, yeah, I keep them together, but you got to figure out the other parts. Moving on, we need to not talk the Clippers next week unless they do something crazy, because I think I've had that take on the show like four times now. We got to go into a break here in a second, but before we do that, I did want to ask the question, do you feel bad, Russell Westbrook? Because I do.
I mean, in some because he's not winning and he's had such a good season, yeah. But I think that kind of goes to show that the team that he's had around him is not just fire talk ill of him because he's been doing his part in the newsroom to put his team together and not break him apart. And a part of me does, especially with the way the game ended. I thought I think they should have won the game. I really do. And then, like that play against Adams where he missed that one, got perfectly tossed it right back to Westbrook. The momentum was right there.
Yeah, it was for the taking.
Yeah, and they're able to get a foul in, a clean foul. It's just a stupid play on everyone's behalf right there. That just sealed it for them, I feel. So I thought that game, that series should be 2-2. And I think it would make it interesting, and then we might actually have a chance there. 3-1 in this Rockets and going back to Houston now. I would love to see him go out of the second round. He's been playing out lights out easy, you know? I mean, people do at the half.
Yeah, I was hoping to see them advance just because that would be the matchup for the Warriors.
Yeah.
And OKC has had nothing for the Warriors this season. Yeah, I was watching the game. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. And it was brutal. First of all, them hacking Roberson over and over and over. Like, get him out of the game.
I can't think of his name.
D'Antoni?
The OKC coach.
Oh, Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan. Why was he keeping him in that entire time? You're looking for his defense on there? I mean,
is his defense that valuable?
You can't get 2 points when you go down the court? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, I hate watching that. I don't think they should change the rule. I think dudes should just shoot underhanded and
right.
Just swallow your pride and be better.
You know, exactly, I'm just saying.
Change a rule that's been in the NBA since the beginning because you can't do the most basic of things, which is shoot a 19-foot set shot. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, no one's guarding you. And here's the thing. You can stop that. That will never happen again if you just make the free throws. If everyone gets like a decent percentage, because you know, 60-plus person, you're not going to go and start hacking away people.
And it drives me crazy that guys just will not adapt to shooting underhanded free throws. There's a great Malcolm Gladwell podcast where he talks with Rick Barry about some of the psychology that goes behind and why these guys won't change. Because Wilt Chamberlain did this. He really struggled from the free throw line. You know, one of the most prolific scorers of all time. And when he came to the Warriors, I believe they're still in Philadelphia when they're Philadelphia Warriors.
Yeah,
number. When he was with Rick Barry, got him shooting underhand, and his percentage went up exponentially. And then after a while, back to the shooting free throws the way most people shoot them, and it went back down. And it's a fascinating thing. It's frustrating. Just swallow your pride, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you're hurting your team.
I mean, I just feel like as a coach, I'd be like, or the GM or something, like, dude, I'm paying you a lot of money to get me points in this game. Like, you're supposed to do what your job, and you're an idiot.
Do you think the guy who came up with the term granny style just ruined it for everyone?
Probably.
No one wants to look like a grandma shooting a free throw now?
He's completely, I don't know really how that came into being.
But I was going to say, I think offensively, man, it's so hard to watch OKC. Those other guys around Westbrook are just inept, man.
They really are. Like,
it's unreal.
He's turned up these awful shots because there's nothing else for them to do. It's like the team is just, they stand around and like, hey, Russ, do something for us.
Yeah, it's brutal to watch. But let's do this. Let's go into our break real quick. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Chico, California. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Performances, presenting blues legend Taj Mahal and Kev Moe on June 22nd at Laxon Auditorium. These two Grammy winners will be performing songs from their new album Taj Mahal and their classics powerhouse blues band Taj Mahal and Kev Moe, June 22nd at Laxon Auditorium. Tickets at ChicoPerformances.com. So, you got some news for us, brother?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's talk about news. Oh, before we get into that, just one more announcement. I know I talked about it on the show before. Next week is Pinstripe. As our listeners may have heard, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting may be disbanded. We don't know what's going on in Washington yet. We encourage each and every one of you to write your congressman. But we're doing Pledge Drive next week, and it's more important than ever that our listeners support us however you can. Support the station, support all of our shows. We are a voice for Chico. Sometimes we're goofy, sometimes we're super serious. Sometimes we talk race for 45 minutes. Sometimes we talk about things that Derek hates in everyday life for way far too long.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is, we have a platform for you. And the only reason we get to do what we do is because KZF exists through continued support of our listeners. So next week's Pledge Drive, guys, and we will tell you over and over and over, and whatever you can do to help, $5, $2, $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion, we'll take it. Whatever you can do. But news, my friend. Let's get into the news.
And like I said, since we are a community-centered radio, I want to give a shout-out to our university that is very centrally located in this town, the Wildcats. If that was your Wildcat sound, that is... That's awful. It sounds like you have something in your throat. So I got to give a shout-out to the Chico State track and field team right now. They joined forces with Humboldt State this past weekend in the border battle. It is a battle against Southern Oregon, the Oregon Institute of Technology, the men, or a combined forces like the Humboldt State team to form Chumboldt, and they won 167-109, while the women dominated 218-50. So right now, the Chico State track and field team out there. We actually have like a really great track and field team and cross-country team here in Chico. You always see them running around town. They're great people. Give them a shout-out. Supporting the cause. And on the Chico State baseball team right now, they continue their winning ways after defeating Cal State San Bernardino this past weekend. This was coming after a special ceremony to honor the 1997 Chico State baseball team that won a national championship 20 years ago. Now, Chico has dropped in the rankings. They are currently ranked sixth in the nation right now, but still having an incredible season nonetheless.
Did the math add up there?
What math? 1997?
Oh, 97. Yeah. Wow. Dyslexia.
97.
I just had audio of dyslexia. I heard 79. I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't...
Not quite, yeah.
That doesn't really seem possible.
Yeah. So one of Google co-founders, Larry Page, has a long-rumored flying car that's finally ready for takeoff right now. Kitty Hawk is a startup backed up by Google and is an ultra-lightweight aircraft that can take off vertically as long as you're flying over open water. This is a pretty interesting little design right now. Apparently, we've got flying cars in our future, guys. So that's something to certainly look forward to. It's about time. Back to the Future told us it's going to happen already. Lies on top of lies.
Let's get to the future right already.
Come on. Like I said, we've got the draft is coming up in the NBA right now. And this means that tons of guys are going to be trying to be looking fly. It's talking about how much guys are spending on their outfits right now. It's kind of ridiculous. I was watching this this segment where it's been an hour with a tailor.
Are we still in news?
It's news. I forgot to I forgot his name right now because I didn't type it down.
Go ahead.
But they were spending, I can't remember the amount of money exactly that was, but it's multiple thousands of dollars average guys are spending on just their suits for the event right now.
No.
It's a terrible news for me because I didn't have the actual figures on. I wanted to bring it up because I thought it was absolutely ridiculous.
Terrible.
It was absolutely ridiculous right now. And I saw it a while ago. That's why I didn't have down in my fortitude to write it down at that point.
Newsflash, guys. Newsflash. Young guys are spending a lot of money on dumb stuff.
Yes. That's what I want to bring up, the absurdity of the guys.
20-year-olds are spending money on dumb stuff. Newsflash.
Crazy, guys. It's crazy.
Real quick, want to update some scores. Milwaukee is getting smoked by Toronto right now. In the NBA, I should say. In game 4, 92-73, 11 minutes left in the fourth. Atlanta leads Washington 50-46. Portland and Golden State play later tonight. Golden State leads that series 3-0. Dodgers and Giants, first pitch at 7:15. So let's talk about that. Dodgers and Giants. Dodgers and Giants. The Giants, rough start season.
They're both kind of having a little, it's not the most swimmingly of seasons right now for them, but it is only the first month. A lot of people are jumping ship for some reason. I'm like, wow, guys, we got like 180,000 games left.
Yeah, so the Dodgers have started the season 9-10. The Giants have started off an impressive 6-13 and are in last place. However, the Giants, on a bit of news before we go all bad news here for a second. A bit of news, the Giants just called up Rio from the Sacramento Rivercats. For those of you who don't know, I help broadcast some of the Rivercats games. I board up for them. I'm a producer. There we go.
But, there you go, man. I'm saying with self-promotion.
Arroyo was absolutely killing it for the Rivercats. Definitely a bright spot on the team this year. I think he was batting like 480-something. Going crazy. Had a hit streak going to start off the season. So maybe he can give them a little juice. I think the Giants need to mix it up a little bit. But back to the bad news. Madison Bumgarner decided to go dirt biking on his day off in Colorado last Tuesday. and now he's out for the 6 to 8 weeks with an injury to his throwing shoulder. I didn't want to report the injury because I've looked, the last time I looked, it changed from what I first read. But it's in his throwing shoulder, which,
yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it's like if you're an author and you break both your hands. Wait, no, that's not going to help you at all.
I'm so mystical about it right now. I feel like if you're a singer and, like, you would lose your voice.
Yes, much, much more applicable to the situation.
You're welcome.
The author needing hands, because I guess you could record things.
Because you can't have other people write them down. You can still think.
Yeah.
Because your hands don't really think for you.
There's a million ways I could go on, and I probably went in and, just work.
No,
so
that wasn't,
we'll move on. We were talking a little bit earlier about the OKC Heat series. And one thing I wanted to ask you is because I had the observation, has there been a superstar, an MVP type of it, in any sport that you can remember who you, just aesthetically, watching their game, you've disliked as much as I dislike watching James Harden? Because I do not find his game entertaining. I find it's obnoxious to me. In fact, the way he grabs someone's arm is the shooting. The way he creates space, I mean, yeah, when he dunks or, you know, shoots threes, like, great. But I really don't enjoy watching him whatsoever. I was wondering if there's other guys in sport who are really good at what they do. I'm not talking about, you know, a corner who's always getting burned. I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. I do. And there's got to be somebody. I know there are people right now. And being put on the spot.
I know I'm putting on the spot. This is probably something I should have asked you off air and to think about. Another guy who was like that a bit, and this is going to, you're not going to agree with this, but Kobe was like that a little bit for me. Now, Kobe, watching him in general, was beautiful. He, you know, his game was fluid, but I've never been a big fan, even though Allen Iverson was my favorite player growing up, of the guy who's kind of a ball hog, you know, and the ball, like, kind of goes to him and sticks and goes nowhere else.
Yeah.
And I just don't really enjoy watching someone put up 40 shots, but the point I'm trying to make is I don't know that it's so odd with James Harden because his game is not one that is fun to watch. It's not pleasing to the eye. And I think a lot of basketball fans would agree with that sentiment too, that it's just not enjoyable to watch.
He's efficient. I think what it is, efficiency isn't always the most, you know, fun thing to watch out there. Because, I mean, he's getting to the free throw line a lot.
No, I'm good with efficiency. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, he does a lot of things easier, you know, than actually just being like putting up amazing, ridiculous shots all the time, you know? Like what Russell Westbrook does.
That one always gets me, too. Westbrook's
Yeah, so that's what I feel. He kind of does it in the path of least resistance, which is actually the most resistance, I feel, you know?
Well, it's just drawing fouls, which is really smart and really boring.
Exactly. And I mean, it's just like seeing people do that in some version of Hack the Shack, but he's causing the contact all the time.
Yeah,
even
just,
though when he doesn't get it, you see his game go down tremendously. Like in this past game, this yesterday, he was going to the free throw line four times before the fourth quarter, I believe.
Yeah.
And he had 6 points or something like that. He was having not a very good game.
No.
And he very dependent on that free throw line and being able to cause the contact. I will say, though, his setup is one to behold. It's fun to watch.
He's got
some certain moves. But I can agree with
you on that. I'm not saying I hate watching him all the time. I'm just saying,
like, the fact that he's a superstar and he don't like the style of play.
It's odd. I find it odd. There's rarely a guy in any sport that I've seen that's an MVP candidate, and aesthetically, I don't want to watch it because I don't find it enjoyable. It's a really weird thing with this game there, but I'll move off that.
Obviously, one guy that kind of annoyed, I guess not really annoyed me, but was Reggie Miller. He's a guy that,
sure,
wouldn't say his game was annoying, but, like, him as a player, just, I couldn't get past some of the things.
Well, if we want to talk about guys who annoyed me, I mean,
that's
how much time
I'm
you
going.
Got? This will be a 12-hour show.
Let's go. One among down.
It'll be just a long grinds my gears segment for 12 hours of guys in sports I didn't really like. But, I found observation to be kind of interesting. Another observation I had over the weekend was how much these kids out here, these babies, love Steph Curry. I was visiting my good friend Marie and Renee over the weekend. They got 3 kids, a 2-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, and their rooms are all Steph Curry. They're just all about Under Armour. Steph Curry, man, I'm a huge Steph Curry fan, obviously.
You will not rock yourself a pair of Under Armour.
No, his shoes are ugly, man. His first ones were all right. I would never rock them out like Jordan's, maybe on the court. For comfort, but yeah.
I mean, okay, a shoe other than Jordan's out there. Is there a basketball shoe you're going to be rocking, like, on a, you know, just a, you know, classic day, walking around, going to the club or something?
You can get away with some Richard Pippins or Pennies or, you know.
I'm thinking, like, current stars right now. Anyone in the NBA right now.
Maybe Kyrie. Kyrie has some okay ones. They're pretty cool, but
I have no idea what they look like whatsoever.
LeBron's going to get away with. I think if you're in a club or something, you should be wearing. I mean, if Jordan's is even mentioning it.
Really? Okay. I mean, not in a club. I'm saying you're out in town. Like, you're just going out to the bar with the friends or something like that.
Yeah, you're wearing some jeans. Well, yeah. I mean, if we're taking Chico, people go out with flip-flops. So.
Yeah, yeah, no.
This is, I know what you're saying.
Are you one other than the court? Is there a pair of shoes right now, like that, who's actually playing now that you'd go buy and
well,
like,
there's,
go?
Yeah, there's not a lot of hot sneakers out there to me in general. That
I feel like that game is not, like, they don't have that kind of going on anymore.
No, I agree with you. I mean, signature shoes aren't what they once were. There was a time where Pippen, D-Mac, I mean, Tracy McGrady had some of the hardest Adidas you've ever seen. The Kobe Adidas, the Crazy 8s are crazy. I mean,
Iverson's Reeboks, come on.
Yeah, the questions, the and ones, and twos. There was a time where there's wealth spread out. And now you got these dudes like D-Wade and Klay Thompson getting
really
these shoes from China that nobody's heard of over here and no one's going to rock. Yeah, you definitely won't see someone in...
Granted, I mean, there is a big population and more of an...
I'm talking about out here.
Yeah, exactly. Here. But still, I get why they're doing it.
You know what I'm saying?
They're probably popping over in China.
But that's a great question. I really don't think there's too many dudes out there with a really solid signature shoe right now. I mean, Air Delis, those are gross.
There's an Air for Deladova?
Yeah, Deladova has
Deladova has a shoe right now. Right now.
I'm not kidding you.
Del dummy. I can't believe... I mean, I guess if you know...
But Steph Curry's really hot out in these streets, man. At least with these kiddies. It's crazy. And it's totally understandable, too. The way he presents himself. He looks like a kid. You know, his game is really fun and all those things. I mean, I'm not shedding any light on anything and I didn't know. But just to see how big, you know, he is amongst the kids, I guess the only thing I can kind of really compare to is Jordan when I was growing up. And I was a little behind Jordan's time. I guess, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, everyone loved Jordan when I was a kid. Everyone had Jordans. I still walk into this day because I think they're fresh. But
I think Jordan is still a synonymous name within the basketball culture when it comes to shooting.
Yeah, but Jordan also had really dope commercials, and I've never once seen Steph Curry in a good commercial. Never once.
For the most part, most of the guys aren't really good commercials. And one thing I will say for that, Michael Jordan has a certain, you know, he's ability in front of the camera. Not every guy has that. Curry seems kind of awkward.
He did seem to have a certain cachet. But
Curry just seems kind of cheesy out there. The one that, like, there are certain ones that are awful. Don't get me wrong. Nobody. But I just feel like that's not his fault. He doesn't come up. He's not writing the script for these, you know? Yeah. Hey, Curry, come up with a commercial for yourself to start.
No doubt. But, like, his agent needs to help him out and be like, yo, we need to get, like, a, you know, we need to get you some street cred, bro. There's something.
Yeah, I mean, commercials in general these days are awful, I feel. You know?
You remember the LeBron's commercials?
The one that comes to mind, like, I think it's right one that he has, like, with his puppets.
No, I'm talking about, it was LeBron. He was playing, like, the OG. He was playing, like, himself with training. It was, like, the player LeBron. He was wearing all-white suit. He hit that dive off of the high board.
And, okay, yeah, yeah.
Hit
yeah.
the water, made no splash, yeah. practically. Those were great commercials. I don't know why they ever got rid of those campaigns. Because LeBron, I think, has that it factor. I mean, he was good in the movie he was in, like, in Trainwreck. He was, you know, he's not super awkward. You know?
No, he's not.
He has the it thing.
He can handle himself in front of a camera. The other mouth that's out there, the Mountain Dew one by Russell Westbrook.
That's
yeah.
a fun one.
Yeah, Dew or whatever.
Yeah, there's yeah. not, but to your point, I just don't think there's a whole lot of signature sneaks. There's not a whole lot of creative marketing going on with these guys anymore, at least with the big commercials, because, like, once or twice a year, you would expect a really good, like, big Jordan commercial to come out. Allen Iverson had some crazy commercials back in the day. I remember I learned this move from one of his commercials where he, like, spins and throws the other way. I don't know. It was crazy. Kobe had that one where he was in a lab and he was, like, doing those crazy dunks where he was, like... Do you remember?
Yeah.
He was going, like, around the back five times and dunking. But, yeah, it's just... Yeah.
Different era, man.
Yeah, we're getting old, bro.
I mean, let's face it. Like, that kind of thing that we're pushing it was, like, you know, soft drinks. Despite was a big one behind a lot of those things.
Well, yeah.
Let's face it. The soda campaign isn't really popular anymore. I mean, there's other stuff out there. But now you got them producing Brita Filter. Like, that's what Steph Curry's on. Yeah. Brita Filter, yeah, you know. I know it's Brita Filter, man. That gets
point.
The kids jazzed up right there. Hey, Mom, I want the Brita Filter sponsored by Steph Curry.
Yeah, right. You bring up a good point there. Oh, man. Real quick, the Sharks got all sharky again. They lost in game in five games, was it, to Edmonton? I wore my dope throwback Sharks starter jacket last week, so I apologize that chased them, but we all know it didn't because the Sharks do this year after year after year. As a kid, I was a huge Sharks fan. I was tired of them blowing it. There was one particular year against Toronto when they actually won the game, but they didn't go to replay, so two goals were no longer counted, and I kind of gave up on hockey then. Tried to get back into it for this postseason. Now that the Sharks are out of it, I'm going to have to... just kind of be a casual observer. But I do believe that the Stanley Cup playoffs are... I mean, you don't have to like hockey. You don't have to even really understand it. Just watch a game. Pick a game at random. I challenge you sports fans who don't like hockey. Just check out the intensity, how fast these guys are flying around and crashing boards and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. But with that said, I think I've watched a total of three periods in the playoffs so far. So.
I was going to say, the only time I've ever watched is when I'm working. Yeah, I haven't watched it on my own accord, I feel. But I know there's nothing truly as intense as a hockey game.
Yeah.
But those playoff ones are right there. I mean, the Stanley Cup's on, I'm usually watching, I'm keep paying attention to it. But yeah, it's been interesting to see. I mean, the Blackhawks are already out. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think they had their best season on record for themselves, and they got asses straight. Yeah, got swept.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Moving on.
The hockey fans do.
I can feel us fledgling to the finish line here. Just running. In other news, I don't have any other news.
I'm really talking about things that annoy me, man.
All right, let's do it. Let's get to what really grinds your gears. Do you need some music for that? I don't have anything set up for it, so.
I'm willing to go with the sounds of silence behind me.
All right, make it happen.
Well, grinds my gears, guys. I just recently went to a movie this past weekend, and it kind of annoyed me that this has to be brought up right now. There's a couple of etiquette rules I feel when you're here. Would you not say so? Your basic ones just come to mind right off the bat.
Don't put your foot up on the chair if someone's sitting in front of you.
Talking is usually not allowed when the movie's happening.
If there's an empty theater, don't go sit right in front of someone.
Yeah, those are basic ones right there. Yeah. And I unfortunately had all of that happen to me the past time. Went to go see Logan. And sure enough, empty theater, me and my dad were the first ones in there, got this place to ourselves, picked the prime seats we wanted. And sure enough, everyone just started right around us, you know? We were like, I know we were like in the middle of the theater and that's kind of what you want, but when it's empty, just go to like, try to go as far away from people as possible, you know? I literally, someone had to, they didn't come right in front of me, but I had like second guess at taking my foot down. Like, the fact that I had to think about taking my foot down in an empty theater was ridiculous. And sure enough, when the movie started, a couple behind me, which again, they were literally one row behind me and like one seat over, so they're right in my ear, just hearing me the entire time. I had to tell them twice to be quiet in the movie theater. I don't usually do that. I usually kind of put up with it. I'm usually kind of passive.
Did you
like,
shush them? Or
no, I was like, seriously, guys, like, this is a movie. You know your etiquette. I literally told them that the first time, and they didn't stop. But I was like, really, guys, I can hear you. Please stop. And I was like, if you want to do it, go off in the back.
Were they having, like, full-on conversations?
I mean, I couldn't quite understand. It was just a, you know, like, in quiet part in V2, you know? And it was just like, that's what I'm hearing. And it's taking me out of the moment in the time I'm, you know, trying to watch Logan chop guys' heads off and stuff, you know? Wasn't able to truly appreciate it. So
I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could tell someone, like, yo, keep down.
I mean, I understand, like, if you just talk, like, every once, like, there's something you say, like, oh, man, that was crazy. I've done it before. But for the constant, just, I let it go for a long time before I said something, you know? It was just...
Yeah, fair enough.
It was grinding my gear so bad. But yes, etiquette, guys, when you're in a movie theater, just know it, abide by it, you know? It's just, it's proper. People paid for that movie. If you want to do that, stay home. Or go into the dark corners of the theater and do it there.
Okay.
We're going to keep on the movie theme right now. Another thing, you're at a movie theater, don't know your snack before the movie starts. Say, like, don't even start eating when it's not even the preview happening. It's just like that guy talking to you about something random out there, you know, about the inner workings of CSI Miami. Like, no one cares. Don't eat your snacks there, guys. Save it for the movie. Because by the time you want to eat when you really want the snacks, you're really watching the movie, you got none left because you ate them all in the beginning.
Hold on, let me ask you this. Why do you care about how someone else...
No, if I'm sharing the candy, like, let's say I buy a bag of popcorn.
Fair enough.
We have a bag of popcorn for sharing. Yeah, no. If you want to eat your own candy food, that's your own. You're digging your own grave. You can lane it, you know?
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying, if I got a bag of popcorn, I'm sharing with you, and you're going to town on it, no. Control yourself.
I feel it.
Self-control, guys. Save the food for the movie. That's what you really want. All right. Another thing that kind of grinds my gears. I was on the phone this past weekend with my health insurance company. And big boy stuff. It's weird. And I'm holding. And every few minutes, they come on and tell me that I'm still holding, you know? And I was like, really? I'm still holding. Thank you. I didn't realize this. By this mundane music and the people saying, you're holding still. Someone will be with you momentarily. We're coming back to you. It's like, I get it. I know I'm still holding. Like, there should be something that comes on and say, hey, someone's coming to the line to you right now. And then, bam, now you're not holding. Give me that line. Hey, you're no longer holding. Someone's coming to the phone. That would be more, I feel appreciated. Because I'm usually putting it down. I don't need to hear someone telling me. If I hear a voice, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm getting talked to. Like, no. It's a machine telling you you're still holding. It's like saying, hey, you're still stuck in the ground right now. You're not getting up. Thank you, Sherlock. You've made my life so much easier by telling me where I'm at in life. It's amazing. You'll keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
We have 5 minutes to kill unless you want to save some of them and we can talk about
it. I'll do two more. Two more. All right. People who say that pineapple isn't a pizza topping. Like, there's an actual aggravated assault up there by people who don't think that pineapple should be on pizza. And it annoys me. I'm an avid pineapple pizza lover. I love my Hawaiian style.
I don't think anyone should be able to do anything about what you can put on pizza.
They shouldn't berate me for having this idea of believing that fruit can go on pizza.
Yeah.
Like, fruit goes on everything, man.
You, dog.
Yeah, let me do that, guys. And, hey, pineapples are delicious on pizza, by the way. People who think it doesn't belong on pizza, come on. What is wrong with you?
I hope someone's listening to the show for the first time right now, just got in their car, turned it on, and they're like, what is this? They just play hip-hop in the background. This guy just complains about things.
Pineapple pizza, guys.
Okay.
It's the best.
Good.
All right, last one. What really grinds my gears, the Fast and the Furious franchise. Stop making movies! Oh, man. It's ridiculous what this.
This movie made $532 million its first week, though.
Like, why would they? Wait, $532 million.
And this opening week, yeah, it's the most, I think, ever.
It opened up Friday. It's made $532 million in this first weekend.
It opened up last week, but yes.
Wait, it opened up last week?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. It opened up at $532 million.
I thought it opened up this past Friday.
Nope.
Well, otherwise. Anyway. Stop it. I know it's making money, but just money grabbing horror is not a good thing, people. I'm just saying. And it's just what this franchise has come to. It's degrading Paul Walker's legacy, I feel, you know? It started off strong with the first one. It was okay. It was a respectable movie, entertaining. I'm going to drive a quarter mile, but it's going to take me 5 minutes to do it. And I'm going top speed. That's what Fast Furious does. I take a runway and extend it out to a marathon's length and have a plane. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. It's just mindless action. I get it. But I feel like there's other mindless action movies out there that are actually good. We talked about it. John Wick, great action movie that doesn't have anything to do with but just shooting people's heads off, you know? Fine with it. This one is just completely absurd, I feel. So Fast and Furious franchise, I'm over it. Stop with it. Apparently, there's going to be two more movies, from what I hear. They have 10 contracted. So I think just something, it's the end of the world, guys, I feel. If this is where we come to.
It does seem like it's not really necessary to make 10 movies about driving cars fast.
I feel like this is like, you know, the Land Before Time? It's Land Before Time status, you know?
Yeah.
Are you aware of Land Before Time? There's like 8,000 of them, you know?
I didn't know there was that many.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like, they go BC and AD, you know, that Land Before Time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So what happens to Long Neck?
He begets longer.
Or is that his name, or is it Littlefoot?
There's a Littlefoot, but there's a Long Neck. There's a, yeah, this, I don't remember the exact names, but still, that's what it's reached. That's what status is, in my eyes.
Well.
That was my grinds my gears.
So in review, you got it.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk in a movie theater. Know your role.
Yeah. Don't eat all your, if you're sharing popcorn with someone, don't eat it all before the movie starts.
Okay.
You know, like I said, pineapple is legitimate. Topping on pizza, and people should not reprimand you for wanting to having something so delicious on there. When you're holding for your insurance company and they're still holding, we know that. Tell me when I'm not holding anymore. And finally, like I said, the Fast and Furious movies, stop making them.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, very good. The Grumpy Man is back from LA. All
right. It's good to be back.
What are you looking forward to this week in sports? Since we got 2 minutes before we get out of here. Just a quick question. Anything that's you're really like going into this week? This is what I'm going to watch.
Gung-ho for right now. Let's face it. Whenever the Giants and Dodgers come together this week, it's always a fun
time.
It's a good time. It really is. You know, the rivalry that we have, it's playful. The banter that we have. One of the people I have in this town is always fun. Like I said, I have born and raised in L.A. as the team I've rooted for my entire life. But I respect the team, the Giants that are, and it's always a good one. The best.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. So, yeah, we'll be able to talk trash back and forth about that. It would be a lot more fun if both those teams were good, but
again, it's the first month of the season, guys.
Yeah.
Mad Bum beam out, that's her powerful.
Yeah, and the Giants also were 19 games back of the Padres in 2010 just to beat them on the last day of the season. The rest has been history. They won 3 World Series titles since then.
Thank you for reminding everyone.
Yep, no problem. Anytime. Got you back.
That's
going to do it for us. For Jero Gilbert, Derek Isamaki, we are talking about practice. We'll be back next Monday at 5:30 p.m.
Pledge Drive, guys.
Yeah, make sure, whatever you can do, Top of the Beast Show, whatever you can do, Pledge Drive does start Wednesday. Make sure you check out DJ PHG, the Man Sniper, and Caribbean Dance Radio tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. BYOB Radio. Every Thursday at midnight with DJ Day Pounds, friend of the show. And, of course, you can always check Flipside Radio every single Sunday, 11:30 p.m. We'll check you guys next week. Stay tuned for the show. See ya.
We out.